We've had some feedback. Listener Simon Jones wrote to us saying, too much foreplay on the podcast. It's 2 minutes before you get to the beef. Can't you put a quickie confession at the top as a teaser?
2 minutes of foreplay sounds a lot to him. That must be quite upsetting for his wife. But anyway, here, Simon, this is for you.
I had such bad diarrhea that my plane was forced to turn around and return to Heathrow. It was a completely mortifying experience, and it still feels like a bad dream all these years later.
Sounds like a shit experience.
Sounds like a bad case of turbulence.
Squish Airways.
Before we start, let's go around the room and everyone tell us something interesting about yourself.
Thanks for that one to Lord Ryan, Bruce, Chad Flenderman and Matt L for the comments.
Thanks, guys, for all those comments. Have you ever shat yourself on the plane, Dave?
I have not.
Have you ever shat yourself in the wrong circumstances?
It's always the wrong circumstance to shit yourself, isn't it? Have you ever shat yourself in the right circumstances, Rob?
I've been in a situation that was, I was working in a pub. The people who ran the pub said, like, let's go to Birmingham and get pissed. And so we go to Birmingham in their car. So there's about four of us who works in this pub. And then we go to this sort of like terrible, terrible nightclub. And we've drank quite a lot of alcohol. And I had to go, oh, God, I need to go home. And the only way to get back is to go in the car. And I can't drive this car and it's not my car anyway. So I'm just sitting in the car, absolutely steamingly pissed, feeling terrible. I then get mugged. Because like some guy sort of like leans into the car and he's like, oh, is this your car, mate? And he was like, and then he starts explaining about how I'm like, you're obviously drunk in control of a vehicle. And I'm going, oh, it's not my car. I'm just sitting here while they come back. He smashes a bottle and puts it against my neck.
Oh, my God.
And goes, give me that. And he steals. And I'm wearing, because I've been working in a pub, we had to dress in this terrible way. And so I'm literally wearing a green bow tie. He steals this fucking green Velcro bow tie. And then I'm going, oh, my God, I think I am going to shit myself. I've got to sort myself out. And I managed to sort of, like, push my way into a curry house and then do, like, liquid shits in their bog and then stumble out. It was a pretty grim night.
Did the mugger walk away wearing the bow tie?
If it makes the story better, yes. I can't remember because I was so steamingly, awfully pissed. This is Fessel. Cue the jingle. Welcome to the Fesshole Podcast, where Rob Manuel and David Stevenson take this week's most awful confessions and cringe at the horror of it all. I'm Rob Manuel, and I've been running this Fesshole account for 5 years.
And I'm David Stevenson, and I get dragged into Rob's projects regardless of whether I want to or not.
And we've been friends since 1980.
Regardless of whether I want to be or not.
And our producer tells us we need to encourage listeners to subscribe and rate and review wherever they get their podcasts. And this week we're going to speak to actual people, real people from the internet, the actual real people who've submitted stuff to Fessel. We've actually got people who've submitted stuff to Fessel and it's gone viral. And we've got them here in the Fessel HQ studio monstrosity. They've all come from all around the country to hang out with us and tell us all.
I think it's a good plan, but I'm slightly anxious.
Confession one. Susie Sandwich. We've got someone who they're going to talk to us. Their name is Susie and they're going to come online now. Hello, Susie.
Good evening.
Wow, the timing of that was brilliant. I felt like Noel Edmonds on Saturday Morning Superstore. Who are you, Susie, if that's okay to ask? What do you do for a living, kind of thing?
Got a very boring job, according to other people. I'm an accountant, but I love it and I really enjoy it. So that's the main thing.
I mean, my accountant just sort of like goes, oh, well, I haven't actually recorded anything. Is that what your job is, going, why haven't you kept receipts or anything?
Yeah, where are the receipts?
Yeah, and also telling people they've got no tax to pay. That's what they really like.
Are you like a sort of big corporate accountant or a small scale accountant?
Because I know that I work for a small firm. We deal with high net worth individuals. So it's quite interesting seeing how much money people earn, and some of it is a lot.
Wow. And so obviously you're not going to tell us like the high net individuals now because that would lose you your job.
Probably lose my job. Yeah, that would be quite expensive.
It's David Cameron, Nigel Farage and Robbie Williams.
I wish I had those as clients. I'd be very, very rich myself.
So you've come to us today with a confession. Do you want to talk us through it?
Not really. Now I'm here, I don't really
Okay,
want
we'll
to.
Move on then.
Shall I read it in your voice and then you can commentate? Would you like that, Rob?
It's fine by me.
All right, here we go. My ex-boyfriend was a control freak. I was dating him age 22 and he once threw a fit that I dared go to the pub and not do the ironing. So I spat in his sandwiches for a week and finished with him soon after. It was very satisfying.
It was.
So what kind of things did he do in terms of being a control freak?
Well, I will say, and I'm not tarring everybody with the same brush here in this industry, but he was a military man.
Yeah.
And he liked everything exactly as it should be. And if it wasn't, he would throw these almighty hissy fits, which I kind of got used to over time. And then after a little while, I thought, wait a minute, this is not okay. This one night I came home from the pub and he just threw this almighty rage. Because, as I say, I think I was actually 21 at the time, because I dared to go out on a Tuesday evening and not do the ironing. I was upset and then I got mad and I got really, really cross and decided to spin his sandwiches for a week.
Did he make any comment about the sandwiches being any different? Did he enjoy them more?
On one particular day, he said they were particularly delicious, yes.
Particularly moist.
Juicy.
Yeah. But other than that, no, bog standards. Just expected me to make sandwiches and have them all ready for the morning, age 21.
That's pretty rough. Just the fact that he's expecting you to make sandwiches for him is pretty rough, isn't it?
Yeah, you probably won't be surprised to know that my husband now, not the same person, obviously, I don't make him any sandwiches. He makes his own.
He doesn't ask for any sandwiches after this.
No, he doesn't.
It's better.
Okay, this is this kind of classic thing of like silent revenge where you do almost like a small kind of magic ritual on someone. But was there ever any kind of reveal where he found out what you were up to?
No, because after, as I say, you know, that happened for a week. And then after a couple of weeks, I felt really bad because it's a horrendous thing to do. So I have never told anybody in my life, apart from my current husband, hence no sandwiches. And now the whole of the internet. So, yes, and no, he would never have known. So if he ever hears this, then he'll probably know it was him.
I'm very glad that at the start you didn't say you worked at Pratt.
You have no contact with this gentleman anymore.
No, not at all.
And how did you split up?
I just got to the end of my tether and had enough.
Yeah.
And said, that's it, we're done. And he couldn't believe it. He couldn't understand it. He thought he was a perfect boyfriend who had a, you know, nice home because everything had to be exactly as it was, but he couldn't see the control inside and whatnot. So
to pick up the scab of the controlling thing, give an example of the controlling behaviour.
Really, it was more the kind of the need for a routine so strict.
Yeah.
That if I dared to veer outside of that routine, you know, we got invited on a weekend away, for instance, and it was for a friend's big birthday. I think it was the 21st or 25th. But because he decided he was going to absolutely paint a bedroom that weekend, you know, it was just the two of us. We were both 21. We had to miss out on the weekend away. You know, it was lots. He was a massive fun sponge. A massive fun sponge. And a 21, that's not ideal.
It is the time to have the most fun with sponges when you're 21. But it does sort of like does add up what you're saying about the idea of a military man, because that's like a very regimented life, isn't it?
Yes.
He might have wanted mummy, I guess, like to go, this is.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, his mum was in Birmingham and we were in Portsmouth. Yeah, and that probably tells you which side of the military he was in. I'm revealing little bits more, aren't I? He's definitely going to know it was him.
Gradually, a very slow docks.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the last four digits of his bank card?
I can still remember. You probably won't be surprised to hear.
What was his nickname for the military goat?
Oh, God. It was. No, I think it's gone. It'll probably come to me in a minute when we're on somebody else's story.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I was just punting that into the dark. I didn't expect the possibility of there being an answer there.
There definitely is somewhere in the depths. Yeah, but yeah, three children and another husband later, it's kind of gone.
Has the act of confessing here, has it in any way helped you? My face is grimacing like it could possibly. Not really.
Has it really?
It's helped me to revisit the mortification that I felt all those years ago when I just thought, oh, my God, what are you thinking? But, yeah, it's all cathartic. It's good to get things off your chest and put it out there. And, you know, hopefully he might find out and hopefully he's changed his ways.
So this is what you actually hope of it, is you do want to get the message to him that this happened.
I mean, he deserves it, so.
Yeah, he wants to know. He's been eating spitty sandwiches.
Yeah, but I will say, caveat, I've never done anything like it ever since, and I wouldn't dare.
Absolutely nothing. Never again. Nothing at all. No minor revenge.
Although I've never been wronged in that way since. I mean, I've been with my husband for 21 years, so
yeah.
He's doing good.
You might not have been wronged by a partner, but people get wronged all the time. Like, I don't know, someone gives you, you're in a shop and you pay you with £20 and they go, oh, no, it was only a tenner or something. You must have been slightly wronged at times.
You spit in their change.
Spit on the change. Very funny, Dave.
I think quite often it's when I'm in the car, people don't say thank you and those kinds of things that we're all supposed to do as certainly British humans.
Yeah.
But I just swear into the air. And that makes me feel better.
So, it's your one naughty act. My gosh.
I mean, if it's by way of benediction, worst off, obviously, you've got nothing to feel guilty about. And secondly, you could argue that you did him a favour because you were ever so slightly digesting his sandwiches before he had to do it.
I've never thought of it like that. Thank you, Dave. I feel much better about it now.
To make it wider, what do you like about reading the... I assume you like reading the Fessal account because that's why you've joined in here, but... What do you enjoy in it?
So I was telling my 16-year-old about this that we were about to embark upon earlier on and why she was absolutely not to come downstairs. You know, I said to her, some of it's quite tame, but some of it is, oh my God, what did I just read? It's the shocking things that we all want to hear, the things that you just think, you know, and, you know, the things that I've just said, people would go, oh my God, what were you thinking? Yeah, those are definitely the most entertaining ones, for sure, the shockers.
Right, so that's the editorial advice, is like, I should stop publishing the very mild ones, only do the horrible ones.
Yeah, I mean, they're okay as fillers, but yeah, definitely the good stuff is the good stuff.
What I do think this does fit in with is, like, you know, I have to read every single one that comes in, and there's an incredible amount from women that are sort of minor revenge like that, that would be like secret revenge. I do wonder if that is a male-female split, is that men might be a bit more in your face about their revenge.
I think it is. It's that whole hell hath no fury and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's definitely some truth in that for sure, as I well know.
Although, to be fair, there is a lot of horrible ones. I don't think I publish them. There's a lot of horrible ones from men who are, when they do that type of revenge, it's not spit.
Oh.
That may just sound worse than it is. It's more like... There's a lot of people like go, oh, you know, I hate my boss, therefore when I make a cup of tea, I wipe my dick over the cup kind of thing. That's what a lot of them are.
That's pretty grim, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, that's quite grim.
It is pretty grim. And I think definitely something that you can go probably to jail for as well. Not you personally.
Yeah, but who's getting their dick out in the kitchen at work, really? You could probably go to jail for that alone.
The kitchen at my office. There's no space for it. I mean, there's space for it. There's just no...
What are you implying, Dave?
There's just rather a lot of people can see. It's right by the lawyers as well.
So thank you very much, Susie. If you hang around, we all can sort of like dive in at the end and have a chat. And so we're going to go to caller number two, which is hopefully Stephen.
Confession two, Stephen, Google Maps.
Hey, Stephen, you're looking very handsome there with your big beard and big pile of guitars behind you.
That's very kind of you to say. The beard has been growing much to the detriment of my wife. She hates it.
Can I just ask, who has the better guitars? Because I'm no judge of guitars, but you've both got nice guitars on the wall.
It's probably not me, because I have quite cheap guitars. Like, in the corner, you can see it's not a real Gibson SG. It's just one of the Japanese copies that look like 200 quid. They're not fancy guitars.
This one's a Fender Cyclone, which is quite a rare one. It's very nice, and it's not very expensive because no one uses it who's famous. So you can get a very nice guitar for not very much money.
That is quite interesting. So to put meat on those bones, how much is one of those guitars then?
I think I got that for about £300.
Okay, yeah, it's affordable.
You know, if you were to get something, a proper nice one, you'd be looking at maybe £1,000. That would just be the same stuff in it, but just with a more fashionable name.
This is not what we're all here to do.
No, we're going off on a proper middle-aged guitar rabbit hole here, aren't we?
Should we form a band?
Oh, that'd be good. We could be a whole tribute. We could call ourselves Fesshole.
Yes, yes.
Taking us back on track.
You get us back on track, Dave.
Well, I mean, you can tell us, but you don't have to. Who are you? What are you about? And do you have a confession for us?
So I'm Stephen, and I really like trains. That's just something I like to put out there because that's really good to say. And the confession I submitted, it was actually on Fessal a few years ago now. I'll try and read it out as verbatim as I absolutely could. So I sometimes go on Google Street View to walk around in a world where my father is still alive. And I submitted this about 3 years ago, and I think I'd also submitted quite a few before that as well, and I got a few published, you know, one of which was that I eat old El Paso without any of the sort of meat or salad or anything like that. And I was sort of thinking, oh, that's quite good. I got one published. And then I thought, well, this is something that I've done. This is, I don't know if it'll get published. It's a bit soft. It's a bit emotional. I published it because that's what I was doing one day. And it was one of those things that when I saw the impact it was having on lots of people who were reading it, it was one of those moments where, you know, rather than people going, I've just heard about someone wanking into a kitchen bin, you know, they're looking at photos of their old relatives that they hadn't seen ever before when they were still alive, that they'd managed to find. And for me, I've never actually found a photo of my dad on Google Street View. It was more his car was in the drive. Yeah, it was alive at that point. Thought, oh, that's brilliant. You know, I walk around the block and it was just like it was back then. And when my father-in-law passed away a few years later, I did the same thing. It was just a bit comforting to know that they were kind of just back there, that they weren't gone. I suppose it's one of those things that guys like us, perhaps a little bit harder to talk about, but hey, yeah, I just thought I'd post that. So that's my long-winded roundabout story about how I submitted that weird fest, and then it kind of bloomed a little bit, didn't it?
It did. You know, I remember it got into the BBC News website, I think, covered it.
I just remember seeing, like, it's like, what? Is that something I've done? And it was like the week before I'd saved a dog from drowning from the canal. So I'd like felt like, oh, God, what's happening here? Like, there's like a big positive impact I'm having on the world at the moment. But no, then it hasn't really bloomed into anything else than that, than festival and saving a dog. But hey, I'll take those.
Twice more than me. And one more dog as well.
People really responded to it. And I, you know, I had identified with it. You know, I can totally understand where you're coming from. The idea of like this world sort of still sort of existing in this digital form in the past. And it's like, yeah, you could just go knock on that door. I've lost my parents, you know, and yeah, they sort of are there. You know, I can't see them. They didn't capture them, but there is the world still there. And like, I've certainly done it also just like walking around the area I grew up in. And just sort of like looking at the houses and thinking, that's where they lived. That's where they lived. That's where they lived. That's where that man lived who didn't get up out of bed for 20 years. There's where the old couple lives who I used to knock on the door when I was 8 years old. And they used to give me Taifu tea cards.
Taifu tea cards. That's taking me back.
God.
Next door, there's the man who did the TV reports, you know, the kind of like the end of the central news. There was the guy who did the kind of like, and now we're going to do a report about a duck with a lame leg or something. It's like, that's where he lived. It's incredible. It's sort of like, it's all there in time. And it was, and it's this thing that's only going to become more so as they keep adding more and more data to this system. Because it goes back to, what is it, 2007 or 8 or something? No.
Yeah, I think it depends, doesn't it? I think there were some bits where it was a little bit earlier than that. I think where I found my dad, it was like about, well, his car was 2009, something like that.
Yeah.
He died in, I think, 2013, so.
Yeah.
I think someone found their granny out in the garden hanging out clothes or something, didn't they? It was really lovely, that whole response to that story.
Yeah, it was at the Fessel show in Leicester in 2023. I sort of put it up anonymously, but then sort of put my hand up. Yeah, it was me. And someone actually came over and said, look, I found a relative there. I don't know if it was a lady putting her stuff up on the washing line, but I thought, oh my gosh, that's really kind of nice and heartening. And it's certainly a bit different to someone shitting themselves in the back of a Volvo, which, must admit, I do come to Fessel to hear about people shitting themselves in the back of a Volvo. Other car brands are available, but that is the primary draw.
A lot of room in the back of Volvo, that's the thing.
But it is sort of randomly, it's all human life, isn't it? You know, it's because it can be about anything, and why not? It can be that. My little dark thought, just realising it, because I am in Google Maps, you know, the car passed me in probably about 2010, something like that. And I was like walking down the road with my ex and our child in a pram. And it's like, that's there forevermore. So my son, who's now 15, could be looking that up when he's like 60 and go, there's my dead dad, me as a little kid.
You know that all your readers on Twitter now are going to be going, right, I've got to find Rob. There's going to be some people out there who'll do that.
The one where I actually am in it is, it sounds dodgy that I was like hanging outside Camden School for Girls, but it's just that's happened to be where I was walking past in Camden. So it's around there.
Don't know what to say to that.
No, I don't know what to say to that either.
Broken it. So thank you for coming to the Leicester show. And
thank you, Fest. You've obviously confessed it in public before. Do you feel lighter in yourself for doing it now? Or it's just a lovely thing that you put into the world, I think. So
Yeah, I don't think there's anything dark about it. So, you know, that another one I probably shouldn't confess to.
But you're going openly, to, yes.
I'm going to.
Go on, fuck it. You feel relaxed.
I stole a box of pens from work, but the joke was on me because lockdown happened and I used all of them for work purposes anyway. Just like, yeah.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for your massive contribution. Hang around to the end so we can all have a group chat. Confession number 3, Tom Power, car crash. We've got on line 3, we've got Tom Power. Hey, Tom.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Can we call you Tom Power, or is it meant to be just be Tom?
Yeah, it's Tom, but I quite like my surname and other people seem to as well.
It's an excellent surname, to be fair.
It was just more that I accidentally outed you, that was all. That was my worry.
No, it's fine.
Tom, what do you do with yourselves?
Day job, I work for Listers, who are a major car retailer, particularly in the Midlands, specialise in car finance for them as a sales development manager.
That is just abstract enough. I don't really understand it, but it sounds cool. So I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
Putting dreams on driveways.
Very nice.
And in my spare time, I pretend I'm a racing driver. Race some caterings in the Graduates Championship. So,
wow.
Looking forward to the new season in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. So in the background, I can see you've got a helmet there. So you actually race real cars. This is...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The most expensive hobby in the world, I race some cars and try not to crash them.
Have you ever crashed them?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, yes. Last October. Last lap of the last race of the season.
Oh.
Got it.
And how close to killing yourself is that kind of behaviour?
Oh, it's pretty safe. It's safer than riding a motorbike. So I justify it as being pretty safe.
Yeah, it's keeping you off a motorbike, isn't it? So in other words, safe option.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is all relevant, isn't it? Because this is leading up to what your confession is, which is...
Well, many years ago, I once crashed a car when I lost the foothold on the steering wheel.
You crashed a car while you were sat on its roof?
Yes.
Was this part of a race?
No, certainly not a race, but it was a bit of shared tomfoolery with some school chums. I'll take you back to 1995 in the Isle of Man, where I grew up, and you could learn to drive at 16 in the Isle of Man, still can. Well, in a Ford Fiesta 1.1, you can take the sunroof out. So I don't know if you remember those pop-out sunroofs.
I do. They were advertised in the local papers with a lady with her boobies out, standing through the roof.
Really?
They really were. The Wolverhampton Ad News.
Fantastic. As I say, early 90s, in my 1980s car, my very first car, I thought it would be fun to mess around with some friends and see how we could drive them in a stupid manner. And then I think one of my friends managed to pull the choke out. Do you remember a choke?
Yes.
With the carburettors. So if you manage to get the car rolling and pull the choke out, put a bit more petrol into it, go a bit faster, and actually the car then drove by itself.
Oh, nice.
And I remember seeing him jump out of the driver's seat, run around to the passenger seat, get back in, and then get back into the driver's seat, all whilst the car was doing about 10 miles an hour down this car park. So I thought, I can better that. So I took the sunroof out, pulled the choke out, got out of the sunroof, and was steering quite fine in this sort of abandoned car park with my feet.
Is the mental image like I'm seeing, like, wasn't there Mr. Bean sitting on top of a Mini?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a bit
like that, but maybe just a bit lower down.
Okay, yeah.
So that, you know, you've got direct footholds in the quarter to three position.
I'm not an expert, but is this what they refer to as ghost riding the whip? Sorry.
You may be right.
Is this your hip-hop days, Dave? What was this? Right, so you're in the car park, you're driving with your feet, and?
And this car park is sort of abandoned sort of tourist area in the Isle of Man called Port Soderick. At the edge of this car park is a cliff. And would be a couple of 100-foot drop down to this sort of beach area, the other side. But fortunately, there's some big gorse bushes.
Okay, yeah.
So when I lost my foothold and thought, oh, shit, I'm heading towards the cliff edge, fortunately, the car crashed into the gorse bush, cut out, and I can live to tell the tale.
Jesus Christ. The cliff is quite an extra detail in that story. 10 miles an hour towards the doom.
Well, I think it was only in the last final few seconds where I realised there was a cliff the other side of the gorse bush.
Man alive.
If I'd considered it before, I would have never got on the roof.
That's a really good point.
But then the idiocy of being 16 with a driving licence. Yeah, if anyone is 17 or 18 with a driving licence, I don't recommend it.
Oh, they're very mature. It's only 16. You're like, crazy.
I'm just remembering reading about Julian Cope of the Teardrop Explodes, and that was one of his little games. It was like in the tour van was to, I guess, the thing with the choke, so the car would still be going. And then you had to like climb out of the seat and over the roof and then back in the other side. Did this continue with a load of more responsible driving like this, or did you learn your lesson at this point?
I think it was shortly after where I pulled on the handbrake to impress a friend and basically put the car into a ditch, but installed some extra fog lights. Remember those? Extra driving lamps. Yeah. So I installed those neatly in the dents so you couldn't really see where the dents were.
I was going to say, full respect to you for not giving up after nearly going off a cliff. It's like, you know what? I'm still going to mess around in those cars.
Absolutely. You know, there was four friends and we frequently bunk out of school, you know, driving in the snow up the mountains one afternoon and get stuck and have to walk back and go and grab a dad's Land Rover and go and pull the car out. All this silliness, all good fun.
When I was 16, I used to bunk off and I used to go to Wolverhampton Library and read the graphic novels. So I've got adventure stories too, you know.
Yeah, that's the problem of this, is like you're showing off to two men who don't really drive. I've never bothered learning to drive, which probably makes me not a proper human being. Dave, you haven't learned to drive, have you?
No, I started to learn to drive and then I sort of had a complicated life situation and never finished it.
Yeah, yeah, I remember your mum saying she was looking forward to you learning to drive so you could drive her around. And did that put you off?
I think if I remember that, it would have done, because she smoked nonstop when she was in a car.
Yeah.
It's like being in a locomotive.
But gents, having your own car and driving is like your own little portable man cave.
Actually, I mean, I knew girls who wouldn't go out with anyone who didn't have a car, because you need to get away from Codsall.
My partner's got a car, so... And we're just weak men, aren't we, Dave? Because your partner has a car.
Yeah, yeah. My wife also drives. My non-driving is not a source of delight to her.
You can always have a drink then, gents.
That's true. There's always a designated driver.
Thank you very much. It's a great name, Tom Power, as well, because that does sound like a car magazine itself, doesn't it?
The old Max Power, isn't it?
Yeah, at one time I thought of calling my son Max, but that would have been a bit silly. No, we called him Will instead, so...
Wow. That's a great name.
We're quite happy with that.
Confession 4. Philip, company car.
And now on line... I don't know, it's not line 4, is it? It's just
line
me.
4. He lit the switchboard, lights up.
Yeah. I just can't help but do that. Right, so we've got Philip.
Hey, Philip.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, good, thanks. Yeah.
Doing very well, Philip.
I can't help but feel that Tom was a setup for my story there.
It is two car stories in a row, isn't it? And you're telling two car stories in a row to two gents who aren't the best at cars.
Which is a great setup for my story as well.
Okay, great. So do you want to briefly say some little bit of background about yourself and then you can launch into your car story?
Yeah, I'm an immigrant. I live in Belgium. I lived in Belgium the last 10 years. I'm a freelance writer these days. My story takes place in a previous life. I was about 8 years ago, I took a very good job with quite a big company, but they couldn't afford to pay me as much as my previous job. So they gave me a ludicrous amount of money for a company car every month and never asked if I could drive. I was too embarrassed at the start to say, like, actually, I don't have a driving license. Could I just have the money, please? And it was impossible to get to the place without a car. And I just assumed somebody would pick it up. Somebody at some point would stop me. I intentionally took the most ludicrous car the budget would stretch to.
You're saying you didn't drive?
I didn't have a driving license.
Okay. But you did know how to drive?
It's an automatic. How hard can it be? It's a go-kart. So I just assumed somebody would at some point ask to see a driving license and my whole thing would be scuppered. But nobody ever did. And I drove this car maybe 20,000 kilometres a year for 2 years without incident. until there was a little
until
bit of
there
heat
was an
speeding.
Incident.
No. There was a little bit of heat with a speeding ticket. My friend was actually driving the car at the time, and there was like a miscommunication over who paid it, and I had to go to court, and they tried to get me for driving without a license, and then I cut my losses at that point. Abandoned my car for sustainability reasons.
So they did actually work out what was going on.
No. The law worked out what was going on.
Yeah.
But my employer never did.
But the law just drops it. You're saying they tried?
No. Because they couldn't prove that I'd ever driven the car without a license.
Yeah, he was on the roof at the time.
I'm not proud of this, by the way.
I think you're sort of learning on the job, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I am slightly surprised as well that my fess is the only one tonight with legal ramifications.
I don't know, because spitting in food, interfering with food, I mean, it's not the worst thing ever, but it can be. That one can be legal.
I was technically speaking endangering people's lives for 2 hours a day every day, which is really, it's a shit thing.
Don't think it's technical, this one. It's unambiguously you were, surely.
It's a shit thing to do and I'm not proud of it. So, yeah.
I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but...
I do feel bad and that's why I submitted it.
Okay. Do you feel better for having said it?
Did you learn to drive?
No.
You still don't have a driving test? Yeah.
Still don't have a driving license, but I haven't driven a car in 6 years. So I kicked the habit.
Are you tempted to?
Yeah, but again, it's like, it'd be so embarrassing to do it now.
Yeah.
And I've got by for 6 years without needing to do it, and I got by for like however many years without needing to do it before that. I was caught up in the glamour of having a nice car.
Can I just ask what kind of car it is, in the knowledge that I might not understand the answer?
I am ashamed to say it was a Maserati Ghibli.
Wow.
Is that a wow of just pretending, Dave?
I know what a Maserati is.
Okay.
And I paid zero for that, and all my petrol was paid as well.
So to put that into context of something I would understand, because I only understand cars from like when I was interested in cars in the mid-80s. So it's got to be like, is it like a Ford Escort? Is it a Ford Sierra? Is it a Ford Cortina?
Is it a Triumph TR7?
Yeah.
You're looking at like a kind of Mercedes SL500 from that kind of late 80s.
Okay, so that's pretty smart, isn't it?
It was. And like I say, I went for the most ludicrous option possible, thinking like, I'm going to ride this wave till I get caught. And nobody ever stopped me.
Do you think by having a fancier car that made less heat on you from the fuzz?
I want to say, like, I was the world's most careful driver for two years because every time I got in that car, my anxiety was like 11. I never felt good about it, but I was too deep in, you know?
It's incredible.
God, so this was actually causing you daily stress, going, every time I get into the car, this is eating you up, going, I could be caught this time.
And yeah, exactly, precisely.
Oh, no.
I reckon there's tons of people driving without licenses and stuff. Just like you, though, they're really careful and they don't want to get in trouble, so they just keep it really safe.
And I think as well, like, the penalty would have been, where I live, like 2 years without a driving license. And you're like, sorry, what's the issue here?
Let the punishment exactly fit the crime.
There wasn't any potential deporting on the basis that you're not.
No, because I'd been there long enough at that point that I'm a citizen now. So
okay,
it would have been like a crappy fine and basically condemned to do what I've been doing anyway.
There is this thing, isn't it, where like the authorities are quite lenient on drivers, aren't they? It's like someone will mow someone down. They're like, 3 months prison.
There was a thing last weekend and my wife went nuts at me about it because she only knows about the whole situation through Fesshole because you were the only people I'd ever told.
Did we publish this?
Yeah. You guys published this. This was like 5 years ago now.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, there were two cyclists got killed in the city where we live last week by a drunk guy with no license. And he basically got like a fine of €800 and a ban for 5 years. So if you ever want to kill anybody, just do it with a car.
Yeah. Juries are reluctant to convict drivers because they identify with drivers. They go, oh, it could have been me, is the fundamental psychological reason juries struggle to convict drivers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've been in that situation like so many times.
My mum once tried to mow down my dad.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
It was like they'd separated and then they'd gone to like this Wolverhampton multi-story car park to have a conversation about money or something.
Were your parents in the mafia?
Absolutely, yes. No, to have, I don't know, it's probably just a conversation about like how we're going to split the mortgage, what, you know, that kind of crap. Mm-hmm. Ordinary things that you have to deal with if you have a long-term relationship and then split up. And my mum was very upset about it. But it's okay for me to sort of make light of it because it's like they are dead now. So what they're going to do, mock me from hell, heaven. I don't know where it is now. But anyway, my dad had this conversation and my mum just put her foot down and drove at him and he jumped out of the way. And it was fine. And then she sort of denied that she ever did it. And it's like, it could have been so bad, but it didn't kill him. And then it was forgotten about.
Blimey.
Probably shouldn't say any of that.
I probably shouldn't say any of this.
Yeah. But yeah, I like the guilt factor of it. That building guilt, like the one that I had a bit like that was just when I was 15 or something, I was bored one summer. And I thought, I'll go and get myself a job. And I walked around the town centre, knocking on shops' doors and going, if you've got like a job I could do for a few weeks. And this one little shop, which was a picture framing shop, said, yeah, we'll give you a job. And I had a really nice 5 or 6 weeks just hanging out with this sort of like mid-50s woman who just like, who was quite mumsy and she just chats me. And we framed a couple of pictures. We didn't do very much. It was really sweet. Oh, sorry, the bit I'm missing in this is that I had to lie about my age because she was like, you are 16, aren't you? And like, I can't employ someone younger than 16. And I was 15, so I lied. So, yeah, I was 16. And then that meant you had to tell lie upon lie because of this missing year. Because it'd be like, oh, you'd be having a cup of tea. She'd be like, oh, you must be getting your GCSE results soon. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll be getting those in a few weeks. Oh, you bet you're worried about that. Then she knows when the results are coming out and she's all excited. Oh, what'd you get? And it was just the most horrific experience having to tell so many lies.
So you've created a complete double life, yeah?
Yeah.
So this thing only came back to bite me like one more time. I did some work for a car magazine, a very fancy car magazine here in Europe, which is one third owned by Porsche. And they asked me like, oh, for like the team day, can you come to a Spa? And could you drive like two laps in this 1974 Porsche car from Le Mans? It was like, oh, fuck, here we go again.
Let's ask the guy who can't drive to drive the Porsche.
Yeah, and I was like, yes, I can. Yeah, certainly I can. Certainly, yeah. Luckily, it rained that day, so none of us got to do it. But yeah.
You can't drive a car in the rain.
Well, you can't drive a priceless antique race car in the rain. They don't let amateurs do that.
That's fair enough.
Having now realised that you stuck it onto the actual account, did people believe you? How did you find the reception?
Yeah, this was the funniest thing for me is I had to bite my tongue for like 3 days not to jump in when everybody was like, no, there's no way that happened. You'd never get that far. Yeah, did.
It's all the didn't happen wankers. There was one I put live earlier today and it was like this, it really did quite amuse me. It was this guy saying that he'd gone to the gym and then on autopilot, he'd put his pants on and they weren't his own pants. And he was like, just had to style it out and then put his trousers on and walk out wearing someone else's pants. I thought that was quite funny. And, at some level, quite relatable. That's the kind of thing I could imagine myself doing because I'm often thinking about other stuff, autopilot and the horror of wearing another man's pants. And that got didn't happen. And it was just like, yes, that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, I think everything gets didn't happen these days or porn spam-botted these days. But like, I love the dishwasher ones. The dishwasher ones for me are the most relatable.
One of the shows we did, we had a guy who basically confession was that he was really liked arranging stuff and then sent me all his photos of his arranged dishwasher stuff. And then we put them onto the projector and he got like absolute cheers for his brilliant stacking abilities. It's like, can entertainment on stage ever be better than that?
Should we get everybody unmuted and have a conversation about the... I saw that Tom was enjoying the stories there about the priceless antique sports cars.
Yeah, absolutely. And being invited to drive a historic Porsche at Spa. Wow. I mean, I've raced at Spa 4 times and once in the rain, and it is terrifying. So, yeah, you did have a good excuse for not getting in the thing. But wow, what an opportunity. I think I would have insisted.
Yeah, then I would have destroyed that car. I would have destroyed that car.
Straight line off the edge of the circuit.
Yeah, I mean, even my background says welcome to Spa. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, yeah. I literally thought that was because you went to a Spa.
Shall we do in order? Does Philip have any questions for anyone?
I was really nervous about doing this because, like I said, this is obviously something that's illegal and you shouldn't do. And I felt really, really bad about it. And I was really worried about other people's reactions to it. So I just, if you guys want to like tell me I'm a piece of shit now, you can do it.
You were in a foreign country. Different rules apply. You know, you can plead ignorance, can't you? Maybe.
And it was a Maserati.
Yeah.
I looked up the price of one of those, and I think that the price tag of that on its in itself, the base model is like 90 grand or something like that. And I was just like, yeah, you're going to be driving careful, aren't you? You're not going to be doing anything to put a dent in that. I know it's not yours, but yeah, you're going to be so careful. I could see why your anxiety was up.
What I've realised this is like is that, you know, when people are a bad driver and then they go on this like video link thing and they're told a speed awareness course. This is like the anti-speed awareness course, isn't it? Where everyone sits there on the video thing and then, hey, it's all right. Go 100 miles an hour. You'll be all right. You're still here.
You were careful.
And that makes an excellent point because I grew up on the Isle of Man where there is no national speed limit.
Wow.
And there still isn't. So it is legal to do 100 miles an hour over the mountain road.
Wow. In the spirit of telling stories about bad driving, and because I don't drive, I haven't got my own, but I did one of my dad's. And my dad was giving me a warning maybe about 20 years ago about like booze and stuff. And he was saying he realised when he needed to cut down the booze, when in the mid-1970s, he'd had a few drinks and then was driving home and then had to drive home with a hand over one eye because he was seeing double and like driving like this going, oh, okay, aim it over there. And he was like, okay, this has gone too far. I need to calm this booze down.
Like a pirate.
Yeah.
One of my former colleagues was driving back home from work and he was inebriated and he asked him, I can see three roads ahead. Which one do I take? And of course, the answer is all of them.
I once had a colleague try to drive back from a works night out with his new boss in attendance and he was hammered. We were like, Jim, are you sure you're okay to drive? He said, yeah, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I know all the cops around here. I wanted to say to Stephen as well, like I really love the Wholesome Fessers. They're some of my favourites as well. I remember that one.
I appreciate that. It's one that does stick out. Tonight, I was trying to persuade my mate to come on and do his confession. I'm happy to share that with you if you would like that.
Why not? Go for it.
It's not wholesome at all, but he did this at the Fessel live show and he said that he was coming home from work or something, and he walked back into his house where he lived with his parents. And as he was walking past his parents' bedroom, he saw his dad putting away a load of sex toys, one of which included a prosthetic fist.
Oh,
never talk about that.
I mean, how would you bring that up in conversation, really, with your parents?
I don't know. He's probably going to have a right go at me for telling that, but, you know, I did say he needed to come on tonight. You were asking for people, but...
At least they were tidy.
Yeah, also there was no sex ones tonight. There was nothing like really disgusting tonight.
No, no. We did have a lady who then said that she couldn't do it and I'll just try and find hers. And she was going to be our disgusting one. She said, I followed sex advice from a lad's mag in the early 2000s, Food Sex Ideas. It said a crunchy bar inserted into the vagina would lead to incredible orgasms. The chocolate would melt and the honeycomb would then react with your body fluids, creating a reaction and arousing sensations. Snap, crackle and pop. Lies. It was uncomfortable and it had sharp edges. It did nothing at all and gave me nothing but thrush. That was Skinny Tinny was going to do that and then she couldn't make it. That's a shame.
Oh, well, she probably bottled it.
Yeah, maybe. I think it was a crunchy bar, not a bottle.
I was just going to say, was it a crunchy bar? Sounds uncomfortable.
Keep food in the kitchen.
I'm just worried about Google Maps. Won't they update their mapping one day in the pictures? Won't these things disappear?
There's a slider. You can go back in the past.
Yeah, there's a slider. It's brilliant.
Can you?
Yeah, you can go back to old pictures. Old versions of the picture all there. It's brilliant.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to give up looking at these cars nonsense. You're going to be on Google Maps all the time now. It's just like driving. You can drive around all the country.
It's just where I live. My Google Maps, the cars on my drive are my in-laws and they look crap. So I'm hoping Google Maps will come back to my house one day and they can take the better cars.
One of my favourite things on YouTube is this guy in Switzerland who's a train driver and he just like puts a GoPro in the front. That's his YouTube channel. It's just him driving a train through Switzerland. Wow. It's fantastic.
Nice.
Is it facing him or?
No. It's facing outwards. Yeah.
I can appreciate that from, you know, my passion, trains. Yeah, go for it.
Sounds therapeutic.
In lockdown, a thing I used to do just to amuse a friend of mine was I used to walk with my partner and our dogs, and I'd take a handheld mic and I'd record our conversation and do the whole walk for a dog and send it to a friend of mine. And then he could experience our little walk because he was like shut in being ill and stuff. And it was quite nice. And I thought, that's a hit podcast. Should we wind this all up, David?
I think so, yeah.
Right, okay. So thank you very much, everyone, for joining in. And should we all go bye?
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
So, Dave, that was our first attempt at doing live confessions from the actual people who submit to Fesshole. How do you think it went?
I think it went really well, actually. I was quite anxious about meeting real-life people with real-life confessions, but they were all very lovely, I thought. What did you think?
I felt I enjoyed it, but I got lost a bit in car chat because I know nothing about cars. And so I was like, oh, my God, this has turned into this thing I don't know anything about, and I'm going to be found out that I'm not a proper man because I can't talk about cars or football.
Yeah, next time it'll be just all sport confessions, just to make it.
Yeah. But it was basically enjoyable.
Well, you've done a lot of these kind of live confessions before at the live shows, haven't you? So, I mean, how does it compare to that?
Well, how I've been doing it recently is I just cut people off. Fuck them. So what I mean is like I try and get as many live confessions as part of the show as possible. Some shows I've had like 20 people doing them. And so it's just a case of you get it on the screen. My colleague Giles runs the person in the audience, give them the mic and go, here's your chance, read it out. And then maybe do one question, move on kind of thing. Sometimes you spend longer with them if they turn it to be chatty or interesting. But just try and get through a lot of them kind of thing.
So it's all the urgency, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's just sort of somehow the feeling in the room gets quite intense and quite mad. Just the hilarity and madness of it all kind of thing. But sometimes, you know, there has been cases where I've spent a long time with people. And so when I was doing it early, I'd sort of spend ages with people and then get really kind of worried about it that I'd spent too long. Like there was this guy once... When we did the show in Belfast and got a proper sort of like Irish uncle kind of guy who was doing such a long shaggy dog story, and I just didn't know how to butt in and stop him, and I ended up just sort of like lying on the floor and pretending to go to sleep. It's like that sort of got a laugh out of it anyway.
Do you know the Graham Norton chair thing?
No, tell me that.
He has a thing where people come on and tell him stories and they sit in a chair, but where he's in the studio with a lever. And once he gets bored, he pulls the lever and they're propelled out of the chair.
Is this his fantasy or is this part of the show?
No, this is really part of his show. Yeah, it's a really good... Okay, it just cuts them off. He's like, no, you're making that up. And then just...
Brilliant. It was lovely meeting all the confessors. It wasn't scary at all. And now it's time for the little mice to go back into their little homes and for Emily to go to sleep and Bagpuss to sleep for 1,000 years. Our producer tells us we need to encourage listeners to subscribe, rate and review wherever they get their podcasts. Dave, can you tell them this, please?
I sure can. Our producer tells us we need to encourage listeners to subscribe, rate and review wherever they get their podcasts.
And to finish on a nice note, Fesshole isn't just horror. It can be life tips or hacks for the truly financial prudent. And here's one. Over to Dave.
Thank you. For around 20 years, I've been giving a fake number, one digit different to my own, for things like insurance quotes. That way they can't annoy me, but I know the number should I proceed and I can change it. Anyway, I phoned out of interest and asked for myself, and some guy went mental. Really sorry.
Bye. That was a party political broadcast on behalf of the Liberal Party.